Janine Kabbalah. We might you might know her through well, her husband Andrew Kabbalah, and she's probably more known than he is now. No, they're both an amazing couple, and they have an amazing gift upon their lives, and Janine in particular. And she, like I said, she did a great job yesterday, but I'm really looking forward to this morning. So why don't we dispense with everything and give her as much time as she needs. Give her a hand as she comes up right now.
Come on, Bay City, let's give Jesus a big, big shout of praise. Come on, clap your hands, lift your voice. He's the one who deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. Why don't you raise your hands right now? I'm just going to pray before I get started. Lord, I thank you for your power and your presence. God, I thank you that you're right here with us. And Lord, this is personal. You're here to meet with each one of us personally today. God, this is not coincidence. This is divine intervention. God, I thank you that every heart is going to find what it needs. Lord, I thank you that your word is not going to return void, but it shall accomplish the purpose you set for it, Jesus. God, my prayer today is that none of us would leave this place without encountering you, Jesus, in a life-transforming way. It's in your name that we put our hope and our trust. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus one more shout of praise. Oh, I like you. You're fun. Why don't you take your seats? Thank you, Pastor Andrew. I feel like I was in that worship, and I feel like God said, this is a setup. And I want to thank you for the honor of this platform. I want to thank you for setting this up, creating this space for God to meet with us. And it's not just this space here, this church building that we're meeting in, but it's the surrounding areas. The heartbeat of this church is transformation, and you're transforming this community one life at a time. And I just really want to honor you and thank you not only for this ministry time, but for what you're doing. So why don't we just take a moment and thank Pastor Andrew and Pastor Marianne for the incredible work. This is a seed. And a seed is always planted in one space, in the ground, but the impact of that seed once it grows into a tree and the fruit that it bears has got the power to shake the world, to transform the world. This seed is planted here right in Arncliffe in this space, but the impact of what you're going to do here is going to leave a legacy that's going to glorify Jesus and transform the world. You're part of something amazing. When I got up here, noticed that there are two very important people amongst all the other important people here this morning, but Bruce and Kim. Oh my gosh. Part of my story, I became a Christian when I was 25, just before I was 25. I had been living in Newcastle at the time, but I needed to get away. I came to Sydney. I was living in Balmain, and I thought, okay, I need to go to church. Oh, come on, represent all the Balmain peeps. Awesome. I went to Hillsong. I thought, if I'm going to church, then I'm going to church. So I went to the big mothership, Hillsong. But I knew myself, I thought, there's no way that I will have the discipline to continue traveling this far every day. God, I need you to give me a church close by. I was living on Darling Street in Balmain. I saw a sign at the front of the Balmain Town Hall. It was Balmain Christian Life Center. This incredible couple hooked me in, connected me. They started a connect group in my house, so I had no way of avoiding it. I would have had every excuse, but I just want to thank you. And that year that I spent with you, it was like a cocoon where I just met with God and I saw what church could be. And the reason that I'm standing here today is because of you and your faithfulness. So thank you. God bless you. Before I get into the message today, I just want to let you know I've got a great friend here with me today. Her name is Judy. Judy, do you mind just giving everyone a wave? She's beautiful. She's such a great woman of God with a tremendous ability to take the depth of God's word, but to deliver it in really practical and accessible ways for people. And she's really brought strength to what Andrew and I are doing in our ministry. And part of what we're doing is running a healing school. This is our first ever healing school. It's going to be on the 27th of September at in Darlinghurst in the city. But I just want to let you know that it's on and that we would love you to come along. It's for a whole day. We've got Pastor Phil Pringle and some of the nation's leading voices on prayer and healing that are going to be teaching about healing. But as well as that, we're going to block out time. We've got the last 2 hours are actually focused on prayer and impartation. So every person who comes is going to be prayed for by Pastor Phil and Pastor Andrew. And then we're also going to have a time where we're praying for the sick. And my expectation is that there will be many mind-blowing miracles of healing that take place in that time. Because what I've come to realize is that the world is full of problems that even with all our science and technology and medical expertise, that the world simply has no solutions to the problems that so many of us face. But God does. And he's looking for believers, people who actually take his word seriously. That truth that Jesus spoke to us in John chapter 14, he said, "I tell you the truth, whoever believes in my name, they will do miracles just like these and even greater." So if you are one of those people that's always wondered, you know, did Jesus really mean that? Could I really see miracles of healing unlocked in my own world and the lives of the people around me? Then this is for you. Maybe you've got somebody and they need a miracle of healing. Bring them along, because we have got the faith and God has got the power and he is going to move some mountains. So you can come along and we've got information. You can sign up. We just released it. We've got limited space because we are going to pray for everybody. But we only started taking registrations a week ago and we're already halfway at capacity and we haven't actually advertised it yet. The radio advertising starts next week, I think. So that's why I wanted to let you know that you can sign up now, because I would hate for you to miss out. You know, this morning when I was praying on my way, when I got up this morning and I was just preparing, like I knew what I wanted to share on this morning, but I thought, geez, it's good to ask God what he wants to do, right? So I prayed and I said, God, what is it more than anything? What are you wanting to do amongst your people this morning? And he said, I want you to bring a message of hope. I want you to tell them that there is hope for them. And I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I want to tell you that God is real and there is hope, there is breakthrough, there is purpose. God's purpose for your life has not changed because of your past or anything that has happened for you. And his power has not diminished by our choices. God is here for us. You know, part of the work that I do is travel to Cambodia. I've been going there for a few years now. And I work with girls who've been rescued from situations of human trafficking. And the work came about because so many girls who are actually rescued from situations of trafficking will actually return to prostitution and that broken lifestyle. And it just really grieved my heart. And the current statistics, the minimum is 80% of rescued girls will return to prostitution. But anecdotally, it's more like 95%. Most rescued girls, unless there's some kind of divine connection that happens in their life, will return to that same world that they've actually been rescued from previously. And psychologists say it's impossible for those girls actually to live normal lives. Pain rooms, torture rooms, electrocution, starvation, repeated rape from 4 and 5 years old. How can you ever recover from that level of trauma? You can be rescued, but you cannot be free. That is what the world has been saying. But that never sat well in my spirit, because I know what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God says that we can not only be free, but we can be free indeed. That we can not only be rescued, but we can actually be part of the miracle of transformation for the rest of our world. So I've been working with these girls, and we've been seeing remarkable transformation happening in their lives. One girl in particular, she had been abducted by a Russian pedophile at the age of 9. Before that, she was repeatedly abused by other people in her world, kept in this dungeon, tortured, raped. It was just the most horrific story. Her body, head to toe, scars. But this girl, over the past couple of years I've been working with her, just 2 months ago stood before 60 girls who'd just been rescued, told her story. You cannot believe the layers of shame that have been stripped off her for her to be able to stand up and say, this is my story, this is what happened to me. But more than that, she told those beautiful, broken girls, God is real and he does miracles. It's a miracle that you are here rescued today. But that is not the end of the miracles. God doesn't just want to rescue us. He wants to give us a future. He has healed my heart and he has changed my life. So I want you to come forward and I'm going to lay my hand and I'm going to pray for you, my hand on you, and I'm going to pray, and the same God who healed my heart is going to heal your heart as well. That is unbelievable transformation. The world says it's impossible, but Jesus says it is possible. And I just want you to know that there is hope for you, friend. Whatever your past has looked like, whatever you're facing right now, you can change. And the change comes from the inside out. See, that work with the rescue organizations, it has been a catalyst for me to start doing a lot of research. And see, the word of God tells us, it's said in this word for thousands of years in Romans 12 and verse 2, that we don't have to be conformed to the standards of this world. We don't have to live according to the diagnosis and the statistics and the behavioral patterns that the world says we should live by. We can actually be transformed if we allow God to renew our mind. Then when he changes our internal belief system, the way we think and feel and believe about ourselves, then we're going to be able to see ourselves in a different way. We'll be able to understand all the incredible things that God has for us. And I just think it's amazing that even now in neurological science, they are starting to discover what the Word of God has said all along, that patterns of behavior are not hardwired, that our thought processes can actually change and give a new behavior. Not even only in the way that we think, but at the genetic level. We're all born with DNA in our cells, if you've ever studied human biology. And that DNA doesn't change, but the expression of the different gene strands on the DNA is actually determined by chemicals released through our feelings. See, that is amazing. You might be born with a DNA cell that says that you might be depressed or that you might have addiction. But whether that gene is expressed or not is actually determined by your feelings. Once it's activated, it's then reproduced in your cells. But something that happens in the positive can also be reversed. Through our feelings, we can switch off those genes, and then those are reproduced in our cells and passed on to our children. See, this is incredible. This is science, but it's just affirming what the eternal word of God has always says. In Proverbs, it says, guard your heart, the center of your emotions, because all the issues of life flow from our hearts and our emotions. Not only our behavior, but at the cellular level. Maybe you're here and you're wondering, you know, you look back in over the generations and you see those generational patterns of behavior coming through. Friend, you need to know that there is hope, that your life can be different from the way that your parents or your grandparents live. But even more exciting, that your children and your children's children can have a different life. That you, if you change your mind, your life will change and your family, your children and your children's children's lives can change. This is amazing. This is incredible. And see, this is truth that I needed to get a hold of for my own life. Because in my life, I battled eating disorders and depression for years. After I left the nurturing care of Pastor Bruce and Kim and married my husband and moved to New Zealand, I hit some pretty tough times. And, you know, I thought I was fine. I thought I was immune to depression and eating disorders because I'd kind of felt like I had it under control. But things happened, and it was like a trigger. Before I even realized what had happened, I was back in that same downward spiral of damaging behavior, depression, eating disorders, self-harm. Eventually, medicated for depression and admitted to a psychiatric hospital. Friend, I needed help. I needed change that medical science and psychology couldn't give me. I needed Jesus. I needed to change the way I was thinking and believing about myself. You know, Andrew and I, we have a healing ministry, and I've seen so many profound miracles of healing. But what I've come to realize is that the most powerful miracles of all are not the changes that are supernaturally imposed upon us, but they're the transformations that happen when we actually decide to engage our free will, to take hold of what the Word of God says, obey it, do what God says, let Him into our heart, and He shifts us from that place of brokenness and helplessness and transforms us into a new way of thinking and living and empowers us to be part of the miracle. Friend, that is the plan that God has for our life. So I want to unpackage this thought a little bit more with you today. We're going to look at a story of healing from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. And this is a miracle of healing that is profound, that changes the nation. But it doesn't happen instantaneously. It actually involves the engagement of free will and choices. But it is a miracle nonetheless. So why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings, chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1 to 14. This is the story of the healing of a man called Naaman. Is anyone familiar with this story? Why don't you just give me a wave so I know where I'm at, a few of you. All right, well, I'm just going to read this and we're going to unpackage it along the way. It says in verse 1 that Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Something that I know is that the world is full of great and honorable lepers. Nobody's perfect, right? We've all got our problems. But you know what? They do not diminish our potential or the call of God that is upon our lives. Friend, whatever you are facing, however you feel right now, you need to know that it doesn't mean you cannot live a great and honorable life. Our humanity, our vulnerabilities and flaws, they do not have to be a barrier for God's power to move within us. Oh, someone's going to get excited this morning because this is good news. This message of who God is and what He can do through our lives, it is good news. Goes on to say this in verse 2, that the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. I like Naaman. Anyone else like Naaman out there? He's ready for anything, right? And he's got an outfit for every occasion. I like this guy, but do you know what I like most about Naaman? He's got faith. He's got some big time faith. See, he has just received the worst news any person could ever receive. He has a terrible disease with horrific symptoms. There was no known cure for what he had. It would eventually destroy his life. Yet, he didn't set up camp in that place of misery and depression and thinking, oh, well, that's it for me. My skin's going to fall off. I'm going to die. Woe is me. Instead, he went out of his way to create a space for this God who he had only just heard about to come into his world and do for him what no one else can, a miracle of healing in his life. You know, we all hit those roadblock moments in our lives. We come to those challenges and those situations that we have got no answer for. In our own strength, we just don't have the capacity to do anything. Maybe financially, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a physical healing that you need right now. But whatever it is, I am asking you to be a little bit like Naaman. Would you open your heart? Would you allow faith to rise in your spirit and consider the possibility that God really can come into your world and do for you what no one else can? Bring a miracle of healing, restoration, and provision into your world. Come on, Bay City Church. God is real. That changes everything. That is a game changer right there. Everything changes with that perspective. It says that Naaman brought the letter to the king of Israel and it said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please see how he seeks to quarrel with me. The poor king of Israel. Does anyone feel a little bit sorry for him today? He's clearly feeling the pressure, right? He's a bit stressed. He's ruined a perfectly good royal outfit. Come on, what is with that? You know, the reason that the king of Israel was so strung out in this situation is because he made it something it never can be, all about him. He thought the pressure was on him, when actually this is all about God, right? You know, this is a word for some people here today. You've come here feeling burdened and heavy laden, ready to tear your clothes. And I want to say, don't ruin that outfit, okay? Keep your clothes on. Because you know what? God does not add to our burdens. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. That burden you're carrying is for somebody else's breakthrough, for their salvation, for their life to be changed and turned around. God wants to release that pressure off you today. It's not your problem. God loves that person even more than you do. And you do not have to be the answer and solve their problem. All you need to do is keep connecting them to God, keep bringing them back to God. But you know, the king of Israel's response to this situation of leprosy got me thinking, what was it about this disease that provoked such an intense reaction in the heart of the Israelite king? So I spent quite a bit of time researching leprosy. And that is why you need to invite me to your next party, right? Clearly. I know how to get the party started with some interesting leprosy facts. It's going to be fun. Do you know what I realized when I was researching leprosy is it was so fascinating. See, leprosy is the oldest documented human disease. It is also one of the most common human diseases. Even now, across the planet, it's one of the most common infectious diseases amongst humans. When you think about somebody with leprosy, you think about somebody who's missing an arm or a leg or part of their nose or ear. Like, leprosy is known as a flesh-eating disease, right? Is everyone familiar with the symptoms of leprosy? Leprosy remained incurable for thousands and thousands of years, simply because all of the treatments for leprosy were focused on the symptoms which are presented in the skin. But leprosy is not a skin disease. It's a disease of another part of our bodies entirely. It's a disease of the nervous system. It impacts the nerve endings and the body's pain receptors. When you're no longer able to sense and respond to pain, it means our bodies can't protect themselves and we're vulnerable to other opportunistic diseases and injuries. Most of the symptoms that we associate with leprosy are not actually caused by the leprosy itself, but by those other injuries or other opportunistic diseases. In the Bible, leprosy is a very powerful symbol of the types of afflictions every person faces. Damage that is caused in one part of our body, our heart, our feelings get hurt, means that we are no longer able to sense and respond to pain and danger in healthy and appropriate ways, leaves us vulnerable to other issues and controlling behaviours. You know, the Word of God, Jesus says this, that it's impossible for any person to live without having heart damage. And the question is, the only question is, how are we going to respond to that damage when it comes along? You know, maybe abuse in your childhood or in your upbringing, maybe there was divorce and strife, maybe financial pressure and poverty, maybe sickness was in your background, or maybe that's something that you're facing right now that's causing you heart damage. But although the injury is caused in one place, it reveals itself in symptoms that occur in another part of our body. A rage that consumes us, feelings that overwhelm us. We move from one damaging relationship, one controlling behavior to the next, never making the connection between the damage in our heart and the behavior we now battle. Wondering, what is wrong with me? Why can't I get it together? Why can't I have more self-control? You know, in my life, I remember in my childhood watching as my dad courageously battled the diseases anorexia nervosa and depression. And he, in the early years of my childhood, made a number of significant suicide attempts. And I would go and visit him either in the psychiatric hospital or in the ICU unit where he was recovering from a suicide attempt and not chained, but hooked up to machines to keep him alive. Even now, when I reflect upon those memories, it was never upsetting to me. It wasn't shocking to see my dad like that. Do you know, it wasn't even sad. It was just normal. But the thing is that just because something is normal for you, it doesn't mean it hasn't affected you. Friend, just because something has become a normal part of your world, it doesn't mean you're okay. 20 years later, I found myself in exactly the same situation as I'd seen my dad in. Battling anorexia, battling other eating disorders, depression, on medication for depression, admitted to a psychiatric hospital, never making the connection between the past I had lived and the reality that I was now experiencing. I remember in one of the meetings with the psychiatrist, she said to me, "Janine, you need to understand. We can keep you medicated. We can help you learn to manage some of your behaviors, but we can never cure you. You are going to have to learn to live with this darkness." You know, maybe you're here and the words "no cure" have been spoken over your life or your circumstance. Maybe the word "impossible" has been spoken over your situation, what you're facing right now. And friend, maybe you've just lived with something for such a long period of time now. It just seems impossible to you that your life could ever look any other way. Friend, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep looking. This journey that Naaman was on, it was never about the king of Israel. This journey you are on, it's not about human expertise. This journey has always been about the God of Israel. And anyone who seeks God will find him. Goes on to say this in verse 8, that when Elisha, the man of God, heard about Naaman's quest, he sent word to the king of Israel. "Why have you torn your clothes?" Good question, right? "Please send Naaman to me and he will know there is a prophet in Israel." Come on. You've got to love a Christian who backs themselves. How can we expect the world to believe in the power of God's name if we're not even convinced of it ourselves? Come on, Bay City Church. Elisha was certain of the authority God had entrusted to him. So Naaman, commander of the army of the king, and his whole entourage, they traveled to the house of the man of God, looking for the answers, looking for what they could find in no other place. It says that they traveled to his house and that when they arrived there, Elisha sent a messenger to them with these words, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean." Well, that is some good news, right? Leprosy is not incurable after all. You know, Naaman's life may not have changed immediately. His symptoms may not have disappeared just like that. But he has just received a promise written in this eternal word of God that thousands of years later you and I can read and take hold of for ourselves. That if he will just hang in there, come on, friends, if he will just continue on this journey with God, then he will find what he's looking for. What was impossible will become possible and he will be healed. His life will change. He's got to be happy about that, right? Well, let's have a look. It says in verse 11, "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and walked away in a rage." Ooh. You know, when I read this story, I see little pieces of myself in Naaman. He knows how to throw a really great tantrum. Are there any tantrum throwers out there? Just give me a little wave. I want to see where my people are. There we go. Come on, nothing wrong with a good tantrum. It feels better sometimes, right? Just to get it all out. What? You want me to do something? You're supposed to be the man of God. How about you do something? You could at least come out of your house and wave your hand around a bit, right? Pretend that you care. Elisha didn't even pray. What kind of man of God is he anyway? They don't make men of God like they used to. Elisha was trained by the prophet Elijah. If you know anything about him, he is the guy that gathered all the prophets of Baal together and then called down fire from heaven. Come on, that's more like it, right? We love it when the man of God comes to town, prays, waves his hands around, brings a fire from heaven. Sounds like a great night out to me. And I love that God does that. I love the power of the show. I love when God demonstrates his power. That's what he does. But you know, we are talking about healing of leprosy here this morning. The external symptoms of an internal problem. You know, when you read about Jesus healing people of leprosy in the New Testament, he always addresses one thing first, the state of their heart. He forgives their sins, and then he heals the leprosy. You know, imagine if Jesus just healed a couple of symptoms of leprosy so that maybe somebody who'd lost an arm now had a new arm. They would be happy about that momentarily. But if Jesus never address the cause of the symptoms, well, they would be a bit sad when their leg fell off and then their nose dropped off, right? Unless you go to the cause of the problem, the symptoms will just reappear in another part of your body or your life. The man of God, Elisha, he knew that we can enter heaven with the symptoms of leprosy. You can enter into heaven with broken bones, with problems and issues and sicknesses, but no one can enter heaven with a heart that has not first been surrendered to God. He went straight to the source of the problem. And that's when Naaman began to freak out. See, Naaman was happy to go on this journey with the God of Israel while ever it was on his terms. While ever he could keep God at arm's length and make it all about him, his symptoms. But the moment the man of God put his finger on the cause of the problem, that unsurrendered nature of Naaman's heart, that's when he began to freak out. And he did what so many of us do when we realize that our relationship with God can never be on our terms. When our prayers aren't answered in the way or within the time frame we were expecting, he turned and he walked away from the house of the man of God, angry. His life unchanged, that dark diagnosis still hanging over his head. But do you know what I love about God? There is always a way back to him. Friend, there is always a way back to salvation. There is always a way back to healing. Come on, friends, there is always hope for change. There's always a way back to God. It doesn't matter how far from God we ever run, there is always a way back to him, and it is simply the name Jesus, bowing our knee and surrendering to what God has asked us to do. Doesn't matter how far from God we ever run, we can turn around. Friend, don't give up on God. He will never give up on you. You know, the great news for Naaman is that he was not alone on his journey. It says that he took with him some of his servants. And they said to him in this time of crisis, it says they gathered around him and they said this in verse 13, that his servants came near and they said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" You know, these people are the greatest asset that any one of us can have apart from Jesus. The first observation that God makes about mankind when he creates us in the book of Genesis 2 and verse 18, he says it is not good for man to be alone. We cannot do this alone. And these people in Naaman's time of crisis, they didn't criticize him, neither did they partner with his offense and join him in criticizing the man of God. Instead, it says they drew near to him and they spoke wisdom and faith into his life. Friend, who are the people that you have chosen to accompany you on this journey? Because you cannot do it on your own. But not every voice will be a voice of wisdom and faith. And that is why being part of a local church, not just on the edges, but being really connected is so important. Because Pastor Andrew, Pastor Marianne, Mona and the team, they will not always be that voice that tells you everything that you want to hear, but they will be that voice of wisdom and faith that keeps you on the pathway for God's best for your life. You cannot do this on your own. You know, the great thing about Naaman is that he had the humility to listen to the people around him, those servants that he had invited close to him. It says that he went down and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored to him like that of a little child. Yay. That's some good news, right? Naaman was healed. Come on, Naaman was healed. What was impossible upon the earth at the time became possible when God intervened. He made a choice and it changed his life. The same is true for each one of us here today. If I can have the band come back, that would be really great. See, Naaman was traveling in one direction. He was cranky, offended, shut down, given up. Yep, tried the God of Israel. He didn't come through for me. That was where he was headed. It was one simple change of thinking, a different choice that changed his life. Got him back into that river 7 times and he was healed. Imagine if he continued going like this. God would not have sent an angel with a flaming sword to come and intervene. It was his free will that needed to change. There was a miracle waiting for Naaman, but it was his free will that took hold of it. Friend, there is a miracle of change here for you today. God will not force himself upon us. But he has entrusted us with that free will, the power to choose, the power to make a different choice and take hold of his best for us. You know, I needed this in my own life. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I've spent so much of my life, my late teens, my 20s, into my early 30s, battling depression, eating disorders, self-harm, all of the really glamorous things, right? And I remember thinking, my gosh, so much of my life has been wasted. But then I realized that it wasn't wasted. You know, just like Naaman, when God intervened in his life, his skin was not restored to that of a battle-hardened 50-year-old man. His skin was restored to that of a little child. His area of weakness was now his area of greatest strength. Same true for my life. Those areas of weakness have become an area of great strength for me. Now I'm able to tell the world that leprosy, the oldest documented human disease, these battles we face that are common to us all, they can be overcome. Depression, eating disorders, anxiety, psychological illness, poverty, addiction, controlling behaviors. The name of God is greater. His power is stronger. Friends, God's love for us never fails. And I can deliver that message with authority from a place of victory, because God healed me. It's my testimony. You know, I tried so many things to heal myself in my own strength, just like Naaman. God had his work cut out trying to turn me around. I tried diets and exercise, every form of self-help. I thought if I am successful in my career, if I earn enough money, if I look a certain way, then I can feel better about myself. If I take this medication, if I undergo this counseling and psychiatric therapy, and by the way, none of those things are bad, but they were not the answer for me. None of those things could change my heart. Only Jesus could do that. I didn't need medication. What I needed was hope. Hope that my life could be different. Hope that God really could do something in my life. And that's what Jesus brings. He says to us, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not quench. Until he delivers justice through to victory. And in his name will all the nations place their hope. Friend, where have you placed your hope today? Because I know that there are many people here just like me. The most common, oldest documented human disease, leprosy, diseases of the heart. You are battling them right now. And Jesus is the answer. You know, those choices we've made that have brought that report of death, that condemnation of death over our lives. Well, it's only Jesus that can heal our heart and reverse that report and bring that declaration of life, that those whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. There are people here and you know about God. You believe in him. You are a good person, and that is not the issue. The issue is that you have been keeping God at arm's length, making this journey all about your symptoms when it's always been about your heart. God wants your heart. And he cannot heal and fix those things that we don't first surrender to him. So right now I'm going to give every person here the opportunity to surrender their heart to Jesus, to begin that work of transformation from the inside out, the work that only Jesus can do. I want every person just to bow your head and close your eyes. There's nothing mystical about that. It just removes the distractions. And right now, I want you to think about the state of your heart. Is Jesus in